Hello everybody and welcome to this week's Gradcracker webinar, where we're really excited to be joined by DNV, who are the independent experts in assurance and risk management. They have been advertising their opportunities on Gradcracker now for nearly 15 years, and they advertise their degree apprenticeships, placements and graduate opportunities with Gradcracker. So first up, let's meet our good friend, Steve Perks, who is a lead talent acquisition partner at the DNV. So Steve, introduce yourself to the audience, who you are and what you do at DNV.
Hi, Carla. Thanks for having us. I'm Steve Perks, and I'm responsible for our energy business from a recruitment point of view. We call it energy systems. I'll come on to that a little bit later and explain what that really means. But I'm ultimately responsible for all of our recruitment that we do within our energy business here in the UK and Ireland region. And that's from consultant level all the way upwards. And with specific focus, I guess, in terms of our early careers recruitment, so all of our graduate placement and summer internships, and also some of our apprenticeship roles as well. So I tend to work with our managers to come up with recruitment strategies and to help us attract and retain the best talent out there by identifying the right skills and also behaviours as well, which is really, really important to identify how people can not just thrive, but also grow within our organisation.
Yeah, it's something that you hold very dear to, isn't it, early careers? And, you know, you are very, very much involved with the whole recruitment process of recruiting the degree apprenticeships and grads and placements, which is brilliant because you're such a lovely person. So DNV is a massive... Yes, I am sure.
Okay.
so DNV is a massive organisation, as we all know. So a bit of a tough one for you. Describe DNV in 60 seconds.
Right, I'm not going to be able to do this from the outset, but I'll give it my best go. So I think that what the best way I can do is try to distinguish between DNV as a whole, but also the specific energy systems part of the business that I look after, and also where some of my colleagues you can see on the screen are from as well.
Yeah.
So energy systems isn't really the most sexiest of titles, but globally we have over 5,000 experts working in it, of which over 800 are here within UK and Ireland. And I guess in a nutshell, at a very, very high level, we provide a whole range of very, very specialist technical consultancy, advice and assurance services, which is aimed at really helping the energy industry and governments transition to a greener, safer and more sustainable and digital future. So I think hopefully people on the call will have heard of the energy transition, know how fundamental it is to the security of our planet for the future. So we work right across oil and gas through electrification, power grids type of work, but also renewables technologies such as wind, solar and storage type of assets. Our clients tend to be some of the most recognisable energy brands out there, amongst others. And the other thing that we've got as well, which I think is really exciting, is we have a full-scale explosion and research site up in Cumbria, where we can do some of the really industry-defining research around some of the new technologies, so hydrogen and carbon capture storage, and how we can utilise those in a safe way and also in a viable way to drive towards net zero. So that's about as good as I can do in terms of keeping it broadly a minute. But I think that what you'll see hopefully throughout the webinar from listening to our people is that they work on some amazing projects, which is entrusted to us by the industry because of our reputation and expertise. And I think that sometimes the jargon, which I've already probably used some of, really does disguise and take away from the fact that we all work to a real central purpose, and it's all around saving lives, protecting property, and as I mentioned before, coming up with ways that we can save the planet by creating that greener and more sustainable future for further generations. So I think that's really exciting, although sometimes energy systems, as I said, doesn't sound overly sexy.
Yeah, definitely. What you do is massively exciting. And from those people who were on the last webinar with us, Ewan works at Spade Adam, you know, the place that Steve's just mentioned about blowing things up, for want of a better phrase. And so looking forward to speaking to you a little bit later on, Ewan, as well. And so this
Deliberately blowing things up, by
deliberately, yeah, I should say that, caveat
the
that. Misconception, Steve, I know you've been at DMV for a long, long time, not to wager. Is there any misconceptions that you want to cover as part of this webinar and that you hear a lot of from students applying to the opportunities?
way. I don't know about misconceptions, because I think one of our biggest challenges is not many people have actually heard of us.
Yeah.
Despite the fact we are the market leaders in what we do, we're not an organization that advertises on TV. You won't go past us on the high street. And because we're very much a business-to-business organization, a lot of people don't necessarily come into contact with us until they start work or work for one of our clients.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the things that we come up against, which is why these sorts of webinars are really useful, just to help people just look behind the curtain, really, of what it is that we actually do. I think the other thing is that we are a consultancy driven organization. And why I mention that is because some people sometimes think, oh, we must own gas platforms or oil rigs or wind farms or pipelines. We don't.
Yeah.
But we provide our advice and guidance to those who do and those who design those sorts of things. So I think from our perspective, we provide that really high-level consultancy advice to try to solve some of our clients' problems. And I think what that enables us to do, and hopefully you'll hear from some of this later on in the webinar, that we have an opportunity to work on hundreds and hundreds of projects as an organization right across that energy spectrum. So our people get exposed to a whole range of different clients, different environments, different technologies, which really accelerates their development and gets them exposed to a whole range of different skills as well, which is then really useful in providing more innovative solutions to our clients than if you just worked for an operator, for instance.
Yeah, definitely. And I think as well, like Steve mentioned, doing these webinars are so important for DMV and for Steve to be able to showcase who DMV is as a company and also the fantastic opportunities that you have there. And the hub is also a really good place as well. There's lots and lots of information on there. So after this webinar, go and take a look at the Gradcracker DMV hub. Steve's put videos on there. There's lots and lots of content, so well worth a look. Following on neatly to my next question, Steve, is that currently on your hub at the moment, you've got one graduate opportunity that you are currently looking for applications for. Tell us a little bit more about this opportunity, please, if somebody wants to advise.
Yeah, it's just we tend to do our recruitment in a phased way. So we don't put all of them out at any one time. So please don't think we've only got one opportunity. We'll have quite a few over the coming weeks or so. And the opportunity that's out there is for multiple roles as well. So we're looking for graduate technical safety consultants for that particular role. So people who come from either an engineering background or maths or physics, that we've got opportunities across three different locations, so London, Manchester, and Loughborough. I won't steal Lucy's thunder, because Lucy does do these sorts of roles as well and joined us last year. So no doubt she can talk a little bit more about what she's been involved in, and that might just bring it to life a little bit more than me with my history degree. But we will have lots of other graduate roles, placement opportunities, and also we'll have some degree apprenticeship opportunities as well, predominantly based in our labs and testing business, which again Ewan can talk a little bit about.
Perfect. Okay, so I think the message that we want to get across throughout this webinar, at the start of this webinar, is that there's one opportunity at the moment. Steve made a really good point there. There's one opportunity, but open to multiple people. So Steve's not just looking for the one graduate, he's looking for quite a few. So go on the hub after this webinar, apply to that opportunity. If that isn't quite right for you, make sure you follow DNV. And then when Steve sends through the opportunities over the coming month, I'd say something like that, Steve. So these could be degree apprenticeships, they could be placements, graduate opportunities. Give them a follow, and then you will be alerted when these opportunities go live on Gradcracker. What I'm going to do now is hand over to Jess. I might come back to you, Stephen, ask about future plans at DMV, but we've got a lot to get through and really excited to be. I'm looking at Jess now, she's giving me the vibe. We've got a lot to get through. So everybody found their roles on Gradcracker. They've had really good experiences at DMV so far. So Jessica, over to you, my love.
Thank you, Carla. And Steve, that was a fantastic introduction there.
He did well, didn't he?
Honestly, that was actually
It's a
really good.
short I could make it. So
Really
I
good.
saw Carla reaching for a water, so I thought I'd stop.
Me and Steve worked together for a long time, so we like to have a natter, but Steve likes to talk. So I've got this is my prompt that Steve needs to stop talking. I didn't even mean that either when I was doing it. Anyway, go on, Jess. You
Yes,
go, love.
Steve, absolutely fantastic. Anyway, so let's meet the panel, shall we? So what we want to do is find out where you went to university, Ewan, where you go to university, and what you studied. So Nikki, I'm going to start with you, if that's okay, because you're at the top of my list. So where did you go to university and what did you study?
Hi everyone. I'm Nikki. So I did my undergraduate degree at Glasgow Uni, where I did geology and geography, and then I went on to do a master's in sustainable energy at Heriot Watt University in Edinburgh.
Fantastic.
And then I joined DMV in September 2022. So I've been here for nearly a year and a half now, which is
Wow.
pretty
Has it
mental.
flown by?
Yeah, it has actually, to be fair.
I can't wait to hear about what you've been up to. Lucy, same question for you, if that's okay.
Yeah, so I studied at the University of Nottingham and I did natural sciences, which is a bit different to some people here. But I basically did like physics and chemistry. So in my master's year, I was pretty much solely doing physics. And I joined DMV in September. So I've been here nearly 6 months.
Oh, fantastic. And yeah, Lucy, great example of, again, not necessarily come from an obvious STEM background,
Yeah.
that you can now have the career that you're having. So again, looking forward to hearing about your journey as well. Shem, you're next on my list. If you could introduce yourself, please.
Hi everyone, I'm Shem. So I attended Loughborough University, where I did an integrated master's in chemical engineering. And I joined DNV on the 31st of July of last year, so just
Wow.
coming up to 7 months now.
Oh, brilliant. And Shem, if you don't mind me asking, and Steve, if input here, you mentioned earlier, which I thought was quite a good point before we went live, about being flexible on start dates. So Shem, did you start in July because you could start at DMV earlier, or was that the original advertised date to start?
No, I started in July just because that was the time that was most convenient for me. I know when I first accepted the role, they were very flexible with when I could start, so I just decided to
Go
jump
for
right
it.
in.
Yeah, you do right. And that's right, Steve, with all graduate roles, not necessarily placements.
Yeah, some of them we're keen for people to start as soon as possible, but we also realize that people, when they finish their studies, like to go and let their hair down for a bit, and go off. We want people to come back and, be refreshed, be energetic, and have done some of the things they want to go off and do over a summer once they finish their studies. And we think that's only fair, so we tend to say as long as you're in our business by the beginning of September. So normally, I think this year it's about the 9th of September. We're comfortable whenever you want to start, but we just want to tie that in with making sure, especially if you start over the summer when a lot of people might be off on holiday, we've got the right support to give you a fantastic first few weeks in our business as you settle in and find your feet.
Perfect. Brilliant. Good start. Okay, so who's next on my list? I've lost my list.
John.
John, you're next.
Yeah, so hi everyone, I'm John. I studied a master's in mathematics, integrated master's at the University of Nottingham, and I was one of the late starters, so I started in September. I wanted my summer.
Fantastic. I had a bit of a holiday, had a bit of a last minute party, and then yeah, no, you do right. And Fatima, next on my list.
Hello, so I'm Fatima. I went to university at City University of London and I studied an integrated bachelor's and master's in civil engineering. I joined DNV at the start of summer, so that was
Yeah.
at the end of July.
Brilliant. Good stuff. Thank you, Fatima. And Ewan, where are you currently studying? And tell us a bit about what are you studying? Sorry.
So I'm at the University of Wales, Trinity St David, which is on the Swansea campus, and I'm studying an ordnance, munitions, and explosives degree, and I'm currently in my third year.
Brilliant. And just to remind anyone who watched last year's webinar, as Carla mentioned, you and you're back. And I'm looking
Hey.
forward to hearing from you and what you've been doing the last year or so. And really, we need to keep you on these webinars every year now so we can just keep a track of how you've developed each year. And it'll be a perfect case study for DNV on, what you'd be like doing a degree apprenticeship and what how you started to where you can end up. So yeah, it's lovely to have you back, and I can't wait to hear about what you've been purposely blowing up this year. Okay, so next, I want to find out a bit more about your roles. Now, when I speak to you all, as I've kind of given you all a bit of a pre-warning, when I last did this webinar, you guys have some absolutely fantastic experiences, and you really do literally blow my mind. So bear with me when I ask any silly questions, but I can't wait to hear about your stories and what you've been up to. So, Nikki, I'm going to come back to you. Tell us everything, what we've been up to over the last year or so.
So as part of the grad scheme, my role has changed a couple of times because I rotate teams, but I don't think everyone is in the same boat as me. Some people stick with their team. But my current role is in the solar team, which lies within the renewables department.
Yep.
My team is made up of about 20 people,
Okay.
and within the team, there's principal engineers, senior engineers, engineers, and then the graduates. So you're in a team with people who have a lot of different levels of experience and knowledge areas, which is quite good for graduates because you have people, different people that you can call on to help you. And yeah, obviously there's a lot of knowledge that you can tap into there as well. So yeah, my current role in my team essentially helps to support solar projects in the UK and out with as well. So from all stages of development, so pre-construction to fully operational and everything in between.
Right. So again, are you more business to business then, Nikki, or are you again business to business as well as kind of the consumer end as well? How does that work for you?
Well, we generally act as like consultants for our customers, so I guess that would be business to business. So I guess our main role is to help them realize if projects are viable, help them de-risk their projects. As you mentioned before, we're like a risk management firm. And then we also offer advice to any problems they might come across during their project lifetime. So yeah, that's pretty much my role summarized in a nutshell. Didn't want
And
to
in terms of rotations then, have you got another rotation after this, or is this you now for the foreseeable?
So yeah, as I've been here a year longer than I think everyone else on the panel, I joined and then I did my first rotation, which lasted for 9 months. I think the idea is that you get an extra 3 months at the start to kind of settle in and learn how DNV work. And then your two remaining rotations are 6 months and 6 months. So yeah, this is my last rotation and I'll be done in summer. And then the idea is that I choose the team that I want to end up in at the end. If they want me back, obviously.
Well, in terms of deciding that, have you got kind of a network of support? Can you make the decision, or is it kind of a joint decision between you and your team and, say, your mentor or whoever?
I think primarily it comes down to what you would prefer, and then it's kind of up to you to liaise with your line manager of that team to come to that decision together. But then also, I guess it comes down to capacity and team. So if one team needs people, or if one team's too full, then you might not get your first choice. But I think everyone I've spoke to so far at DMV have managed to get their first choice of what team they want to be in. So I think that's really positive.
And how did you find the rotations? Do you find that, again, as a early stage of your career, that they were useful and you enjoyed doing them, meeting new people throughout the teams?
Yeah, I definitely think it's good for networking, and I think it's good. Because I think when you're a graduate at a company like DMV, you've kind of got a safety net around you to make mistakes and to learn. And I think, being in three different teams over a 2 year, well, I think it's 21 months actually, but 2 year-ish period is such a good way to learn as much as you can and absorb as much knowledge and work with different people. So yeah, I definitely enjoyed the rotations. Obviously, it means that every 6 months you kind of reset and you have to learn new things. But I also do think once you know how DNV as a company work, every time you rotate, it makes it easier because you've kind of got used to the way of how things work and everything. So yeah,
So
I've enjoyed
brilliant.
it.
Yeah, good stuff. Thanks, Nikki. I'm going to come back to you a little bit later on about projects and things that you've been working on, but thank you so much for that. Lucy, I'm going to come to you next. If you could tell us a bit more about your current role, please.
Yep, so like Steve said earlier, I'm a technical safety consultant. So I work in risk advisory and I work in onshore safety. So basically, mainly what I've been doing so far is risk assessments of pipelines. So natural gas pipelines mainly, and also starting to get into modelling hydrogen pipelines as well. So it's mainly modelling the risk from things that are already there. But we do also look at the risk of things that clients want to build and see what the risk would be from those as well. So.
Fantastic. So in terms of, again, kind of going back slightly. So again, for a student that's maybe thinking after this webinar, I'm going to go and have a look at that opportunity. What's it really like? Can you give any kind of hints and tips or kind of an insight to the students that are listening on really what it's like to do your job on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I think when I first joined here, it was definitely daunting, probably is the right word. It's not like anything I've ever done before, because we have a lot of our own like internal softwares, like everything that we do, we use a lot of our own programs and things like that. But I think the biggest thing is that everyone here is so intelligent and also so open to sharing that knowledge with you. So I think, yeah, the day-to-day now, I've got sort of used to everything and set in my ways, but I know that the second I come up against something I don't know what I'm doing, there's a whole network of people around me where I can talk to them and ask them about it. So, and I also think the day-to-day, because of what we do as consulting, you do end up with quite a lot of variety. So when I first joined, I was on one project for quite a while, just because it was a big project and they needed a lot of people on it. But now I've really been branching out into a bunch of different projects. So it's hard to say what the day-to-day is, because it really does change. But I think that's really good, and it teaches you to be flexible. And it also, I mean, it means you're not going to get bored of what you're doing.
Do you know, I was thinking as well when you were saying it about the kind of the skills, but you've said a lot of that as well, you know, being flexible, asking for help, being, you know, being good at communicating. And would you say those are the kind of skills that, you know, you put in your application? And what, you know, what did you put in your application? You know, if anyone was thinking about applying, that could show off that they're right for this role, and what kind of skills have you learned so far doing your role?
Yeah, I definitely think communication, like you said, is a massive one. I mean, a lot of what we do, you know, obviously you're doing your day-to-day work by yourself at your desk, but every project that you're on is with a team of people.
Yeah.
So being able to, you know, work with other people, especially if you in your studies, if you've done group projects, things like that, those are really good examples to put in and say and prove that you can work in a group. I think the skills that I've developed are a lot more like analytical skills as well. I mean, obviously I did a lot of that at uni, but I think if you can get your head around numbers and you can get your head around modeling and things like that, that's going to be really helpful as well. But yeah, I mean, I think the most important thing is, obviously I do use the skills that I learned at uni, but when it comes down to the actual knowledge, they will teach you things here. They will train you up. Absolutely. So yeah, I think it's the core skills that show that you'd be able to learn those things is really important.
Yeah. And Steve, I'm going to bring you back in here, because I actually rewatched last year's webinar just before this session, and I'm going to make your point that you made to me, and I just thought it was a really good one. When, again, the industry that you guys are working in is, you know, at the forefront of change at the moment, isn't there? There's lots of things going on. And you made that really good point last year, Steve, was that you could have a student that's really interested in like the maths analytics side, and they don't know how, you know, where they could really apply that to, say, your industry and going on to apply to those roles, where you might have another student that's going on to apply that is really passionate about sustainability and things like that. So I just wanted to make that point again, because I think it's a really important one, the kind of person and people that you're looking for in a good application. And Lucy, you kind of touch upon those skills, but it's all right to not necessarily know how you can apply those skills yet.
I think that's right. And I think also just linking back to Nikki's point around where is she going to end up, I mean, I don't know from Nikki's point of view, but I think the point that we want people who are passionate about what they do, so we're hoping that it makes sense to us for Nikki to end up in a part of the business where she really loves, really curious, you know, wants to be, rather than just trying to put them onto pieces of work which they don't have that interest in. And that's why a lot of our adverts we now have are very specific, because we want to try to align that passion and interest or some of those skills.
Yeah.
So even if you don't know how you could apply these analytical skills that Lucy was referring to, we do. And we know we can match you to something that is appropriate.
Yeah, really, really good. Thanks, Steve, for that. And thank you so much, Lucy. Shem, I'm going to come to you next. Same kind of question. Could you tell us a bit about your current role?
Yeah, so I'm a consultant within the digital energy team here in the UK. So I'd say a lot of my role is focused on the digitalization of the energy sector and digitalizing certain aspects of our clients' businesses. Also, I'd say delivering digital trust services and providing assurance for digital solutions across the energy sector. So, say the assurance of digital twins or the assurance of AI.
I was going to ask about AI. Don't really know what I was going to ask about it, but I just thought it might be relevant. And how is that impacting your role at the moment, AI?
I'd say it's impacted quite a bit. I'd say in a positive way, because it's opened up a very big area where we can see ourselves going into. So for example, with the assurance of AI, now that AI has been integrated in business a lot more, there needs to be an assurance of demonstrating that these technologies that have been implemented are safe and that the stakeholders have, you know, full confidence in using it and are able to take full advantage of it.
I suppose, yeah, that's a good point, isn't it? I suppose you need to do that with AI as well, don't you? You know, you use it as a tool, not to give you the answer. Yeah, and exactly. It's almost to enhance and help and support rather than be the ultimate answer. So, Shem, kind of going back slightly, again, you this time last year, could you imagine yourself doing what you're doing now? Is DMV taking you in a direction you might never have considered before?
I definitely didn't imagine myself doing what I'm doing now when I first joined, but I can say that I always had a passion for coding / technology. So, you know, with this big boom in AI coming in, I've just found myself more and more eager with any new development and any new projects that we have coming into our team here.
And Shem, just to put you on the spot slightly, again, any students that are listening live now, watching the recording in the future, is there a particular coding language or a particular thing they could be practicing now that could maybe help or enhance their application?
Yeah, I'd say the preferred coding language here in DNV is Python. I just want to mention there's not like a big emphasis on learning how to code. Yes, it is very helpful, but it's not necessary for this role. So, but if you do have an interest in it, DMV are very accommodating. They have, you know, various courses and, you know, other higher ups within your team that are happy to assist you with learning this.
So that's a good point as well. So even if you're not necessarily even from a computer science kind of background or computing background, if you've got that interest, great. But they're here to support you if not, and if you want to go into that direction, which is really, really good. So thanks, Shem. John, come to you next. What have you been up to?
Yeah, so I'm a consultant in the asset data analytics team. So we've taken a lot of our clients' data. Our clients are normally like gas distribution networks or gas meter companies, and we take in their data and we use it to tell them like trends of failures, kind of predict what could happen in the future with their meters or their pipes and stuff. And we work closely with the other teams, like the materials team, that will they'll look at like how this is kind of going on to a question later, but yeah, there's a lot of, in the energy transition, there's a lot of stuff moving from natural gas to hydrogen, and the materials team have done some work in working out how hydrogen affects gas distribution pipes. And then we'll kind of take the work from the materials team and line it up with the asset data from the clients and kind of predict forward of how we'd expect their distribution pipes to sort of deteriorate over time if we changed it to hydrogen. So that sort of thing. It's kind of like taking data from clients and kind of using it to giving it value to them, giving it more value.
Yeah.
John, do you have any crossover then with Spared Adam at this point in terms of testing how long and the durability of pipelines that have hydrogen in them or holding hydrogen? Are you just looking at the data from the your customers that you look after?
So me specifically, I haven't had any contact with Spade Adam myself, but I know I do. I think we do work with like some data that comes in from them. It's like the they tell us how yeah they sorry.
That's all right. I've probably
yeah,
put
no,
you
we,
on.
Yeah, we work closely. So yeah, they do like the research behind it, and we kind of take their research and add it into the work we do. Yeah. So yeah, we do liaise with them. Not me personally, but no, our team does.
Fantastic. No, that's good. And then John, in terms of again, I'd just like to ask this question. I hope you don't mind, because
that's all right.
When I'm speaking to, you know, multiple sessions already this week with final year students, and I'm telling them, look, where you think you're gonna be to where you're actually gonna end up is completely different. So that's why I like to ask the question, because it just feels like I'm proving a point. Doing what you're doing now, did you expect to be doing what you're doing now?
Yes. Yeah, oh. I think I did. So I was interested in data analysis, definitely. Coming out of uni, there's a lot of data analyst jobs, and it was definitely appealing to me. But I didn't know where I was going to go with it. I know I wasn't interested in the finance side of things, because I'm not money motivated or anything. So I wasn't interested in going into like a banking company or anything like that. So that was the appeal of DMV when I saw the application, the job on GradCracker. Yeah. But I wouldn't have said necessarily I'd have seen myself in DMV doing what I do, but definitely the data analyst side of things, yeah.
Perfect. Thanks, John. Great answer there. Fatima, I'm going to come to you next, if that's okay.
So I am a graduate structural engineer in the JACOP team, which makes up half of the JACOP and geotechnical team. The team is an integral part of the offshore infrastructure department in the energy system section. So our focus revolves around JACOP platforms and vessels, where we engage in projects within the oil and gas industry, as well as things like offshore wind farms.
Yeah. So Fatima, in terms of your kind of day-to-day, how does that look? Where are you? I haven't asked you all yet really where you're based and where your offices are. So where are you right now? I can tell you, you're in the office. What's the kind of day-to-day look like for you?
So I am based in the London office. And for me, my day-to-day is usually we might, depending on how large the project is, again, we might be working on two or three projects at one time. And usually, it's quite independent. So depending on how big the project is, you will usually be given one project to work on independently. And then you can look, like, depending on the project. So I will work on the thing is, a project will be like, again, depending on the scale, it might be 2-3 weeks long, where you work on two or three projects, and then you do what the client is asking you. So for example, if it's like a punch through analysis or a site specific assessment, they might take 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. So you'll work on two or three at a time. After those 3 weeks are over, you hand it over to the client. If they have any feedback, give it, they'll let you know. You can then either, you'll be done with that project, or you can start a new project.
So in terms of the projects then, how do you decide what you're going to go on to next? Are you kind of, is your work kind of relying on your clients, your customers kind of bringing you the next project, or do you kind of choose an area?
So that is usually the case. So we work with JACOP operators, I think Steve mentioned before. We will be giving them advice, JACOP owners and vessels and things of that nature. So they might usually they won't just go to one location with one vessel. It will be multiple locations. So we will continue doing the work for these multiple locations. And if there's a particular type of project you enjoy, you can obviously tell that to your line manager, and then he or she will pass it on to you and give you projects more in that field.
So Fatima, in terms of your kind of next steps then, have you got you don't you won't have kind of a rotation scheme part of your no. So are
No.
you kind of working on these projects that are coming in for the foreseeable? Is
I
that kind
am,
of how
yes.
we'll work? Yeah.
My role, I would say, is very, very technical.
Okay.
So it's a lot more in our team, they really want you to expand your knowledge, continue becoming experts in the field,
In that,
essentially.
yeah. Okay.
So because of that, I enjoy the maths, I enjoy the physics, so I decided I don't want to be on rotation. I really want to grow in my team and continue working on projects like this.
And again, is it an obvious career path from a civil engineering background to be doing what you're doing now?
So actually, I might be the only person. No, there's two other people, but apart from three people on my team, everyone else is in came from an aerospace engineering background or mechanical engineering background. So it's usually, I think it's ideal for you to have an engineering background for my particular role, but in regards to what sort of engineering, it's very open. So
Brilliant. And that, again, a really good point that all STEM, all students, Lucy, we never really covered your degree discipline. We'll come back to you slightly, but your journey as well, that not necessarily in an industry with a company you would originally have thought you'd end up in. Coming back to you, Lucy, slightly, just quickly, in terms of, again, those skills, how have DNV supported you in kind of enhancing your technical knowledge?
Yeah, so I think for me, like everyone that I work with basically is engineers apart from me. But obviously I did still do physics. So when it comes down to like the maths and thinking analytically and stuff like that, those are skills that I still developed while at university, and you do have quite a lot in common. And actually with some of the work that I'm doing, because I did chemistry, it's actually helped me. Like there's things that I've understood better
Oh,
coming into
brilliant.
it than maybe an
Yeah.
engineer would do. I mean, obviously, chemical engineering, you then have the best of both worlds. But yeah, I would definitely say if anything that I've not been sure on because I've not had an engineering background, there's always been people to tell me and teach me. And in our office as well, we have, in my office and in my team, we have a training session every week for the grads where it's our section manager will go through with us, like just for an hour, something that's relevant to the industry. So, like, he'll be teaching us about like valves and things like that, which is
Yeah.
stuff that I never did in my degree, but engineers obviously would have come across. So they both actively train us up. And then also while you're doing the work, you're just naturally going to learn. So yeah, anything that you might feel you've missed because you've not necessarily done the specific degree, it's really just you're going to learn it on the job.
Lucy, did you say
Sorry, Jess.
philosophical school?
I was just going to mention, just building on from that, around the specific team that Luce is in. They really value that diversity of thought around how you approach problems, because a lot of the time, especially on some of these new situations that Lucy talked about, the transition to these new technologies, there isn't any real knowledge, and so it's around, well, what are the risks and how do people think and identify what those are and also communicate them. And people with maybe a maths degree or a physics degree might approach that thought process in a slightly different way than an engineer. And as a project team, we then really build that diversity of thought into our solutions. And so we really value that. So I think you'll see on the advert, we expressly want people with maths degrees, physics degrees, engineering degrees, that all works for us.
Makes sense. Absolutely makes sense. Again, Fatima and Lucy, perfect examples of that. So well done. And for again putting having the confidence in yourself though. And I think that's a big thing to highlight as well, because I think sometimes have I got the confidence to apply to this? How can I show off those other skills that I do definitely have in abundance? And can I really prove that I am the right person for this job? And you've done that. You've both had the confidence to do that. So yeah, just want to definitely make that point. So well done. Ewan, Last but not least on my list, what have you been up to the last year?
So I'm an explosive technician. So most of my job is sort of working on various projects, preparing explosive charges, helping out with setting up trials, and then obviously detonating the explosives. Also sort of in the last year I've been helping out, having a go with the trials management, which is sort of more the engineer's responsibility, which will be what I progress to after my degree. So I had to go with that, sort of looking after customers more, taking more charge with actual setting up of the trial, stuff like that. And then yeah, just the usual really, helping out with we do a lot of safety courses as well, sort of oil and gas and energy companies. So I'm involved with them. A lot of the demonstrations require pyrotechnics or explosives. So I help out with them as well.
And you tell me what a typical week looks like for you then. So you at university once a week or once a month, how does it work for you?
So I go to university on block release. So I've just recently got back. I go for 2 weeks at a time, and then I'll be based on site for typically 6 to 8 weeks. So yeah, it's a nice sort of mix. And while I'm away at university, I get put in a hotel by DNV.
Oh, lovely.
But yeah, when I'm on site, a typical week sort of, we often have the hazard awareness courses, like I mentioned. We also do a lot of railway crossings, for Progress Rail. So that's sort of applying explosives to the railway crossings and detonating them. And that just hardens them, and makes them last a lot longer. That's probably my main project at work. We get deliveries of them twice a week, and we'll go through about sort of 10 to 15 crossings a week, if not more. But then there's also sort of the bigger trials weeks for the bigger companies, some of the like Ministry of Defence companies, which are definitely a lot more interesting. Doing all sorts really. There's a lot of vehicle trials, armored vehicles, things like that. Much bigger explosive charges. So
And Ewan, has your team changed much over the years then, or the last year? Are you working with the same group of people?
no, so I'm working with the same group of people really. It's really just me and one other person work as the explosive technicians, and then I also work with some of the explosives engineers.
And are you the only degree apprentice in that group?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
And oh, so we were going to say something, Carla. No?
Yes, I just remember from last time, so it's just not me.
Yeah, no, and this is conscious as well because I feel like we asked these questions last year. I don't want to not ask them. So yeah, Ewan, in terms of your kind of day to day then, what if you're typically only working with that one other person, how are they more see obviously more senior to you? And again, is it just normally you two in the office out and about, at State Adam? How does it work?
Yeah, so he's sort of my mentor, and yeah, for the last, so, well, since I've been there, he's the one that's sort of training me, and like I say, with the railway crossings that we do, I usually do them with him. But in the last sort of year or so, I've also been signed off to do the explosives on my own, so if he's off or whatever, I can do it on my own as well. But because it's There is quite a lot of explosives work, but it's two of us can handle it, so it's not a massive team that we are in. But I mean, I think we are probably gonna have someone else joining that team soon. But yeah, like I say, at the minute it is just us two.
Brilliant.
But yeah, as the workload increases, it sort of.
And I'm sure you'll
I
be
think
teaching.
Ewan's right. I think it's almost certainly going to be one of the degree apprenticeship roles that we look to go
Oh,
out to market for later this year, because we see there's real opportunity to keep bringing these people in and following that path that Ewan's mentioning.
I'm just conscious of the time, actually. So I was avoiding this question, Ewan, because I thought I'll come back to it. But since I'm on you, I want to talk to you a bit about your development. And what training and development do you think you've received so far that's been hugely beneficial? Because, again, I can already see from last year's webinar to now, you know, a lot more confident, you know, speaking really, really well. And so, yeah, what do you think has been the big training development that you've had so far the last year?
So obviously I'm a lot further on with university. I think I'm a lot more confident. I get a lot of support from work as well with that. They've also had us on a couple of sort of training courses. I've got my telehandler license, sort of training like that. But yeah, they're always sort of encouraging me to do various different short courses and stuff like that to gain to improve my competence.
You can definitely see it. So well
yeah,
done, you.
Definitely.
And Nikki, just to come to you as well, I think you've got something to add in terms of your personal training development that you've experienced so far at DNV.
So in terms of training, so as I said, I've obviously rotated teams. So I'm in my third team now. So I think every time you rotate, you obviously get given relevant training on the different technology or business area that your team specializes in. So far, I started at DNV and I started in the energy storage team, and then I moved to wind. So it's onshore and offshore wind. And then now I'm in solar. So that's like three different energy technologies and three different markets that you kind of have to familiarize yourself with. And like the other team members are really helpful for training you in those. And yeah, obviously different teams also use different internal DNV programs and softwares as well. But as Lucy mentioned earlier, everyone at DNV is super helpful and super keen to, you know, train you up, as because it obviously helps them. As soon as you're trained up, you can be really helpful to the team. So you're a useful asset. In terms of part of the grad scheme, I think every 6 months or so, all the grads meet up and we do training modules as well. So they're kind of just general development modules, I think. So the first one was about communications. The second one was on innovation, and I had one actually last week about project management and finance. So it's actually quite good fun because all the grads can meet up for a day. You all go to the same office. It's good for social like interaction and mingling. And then also you're getting training that only the graduates receive. So it's actually, you kind of have an upper hand compared to people that haven't joined on the grad team. So it's quite good.
And Nikki, do you feel as though when you kind of look back from when you joined to now, how far you've come? Do you think, you know, again, you see new grads join the business and people maybe come to you and asking you for help and advice?
I think looking back, you probably think, oh God, I was so clueless. But everyone is like that at the beginning. I would say, I know we're talking about different uni degrees, and I'm also not an engineer. And I would say that obviously you use principles that you learn in uni, like communication and how to kind of learn and, I don't know, write reports and everything like that and analyze data. But I think probably 90% of the work I do now, I've just learned on the job. So I think that's a huge growth development in knowledge. And as I said earlier, when you're a graduate, you're kind of in a safe space to absorb as much as you can, but also make mistakes, because there are always going to be people kind of supporting you along the way. And you've got constant support with your line manager, which is good. So yeah, I think overall the development's been pretty constant, and a lot of learning of new things, especially because I've been rotating teams. So it's been quite a lot of information to onboard in the last couple of years, but it's been really good. And yeah, I think your confidence also grows. So I'm now at the point where I'm happy to take client meetings and stuff and PM small projects myself. Whereas obviously when you just start, you're quite hesitant to take on responsibility.
Yeah.
So yeah.
You know, Nikki, that's a lot in a year, isn't it? Mm. Really, from, like you say, from feeling like you didn't know much to where you are now, it's a really good representation of what you've been doing, the hard work you've been putting in. So well done, because yeah, a lot of responsibility, and all you're doing, everyone, one of you, doing fantastic work. So next, I want to go a bit about the kind of social aspects and the fun stuff, and what else you've been doing as well as your day jobs at DNV. So Lucy, I'm going to come to you on that one first. Could you tell us a bit about any kind of extracurricular activities you've been involved in?
Yeah, definitely. So, in the Loughborough office, everyone is very friendly and very sociable. There's quite a few other graduates and other placement students. So we go like to a pub quiz every week and we go out for dinner and things like that. But we also have like more organized socials with the whole office. So we had a summer party, which was really nice. That was like the week after I joined. We had a massive summer party with like a barbecue and entertainment and stuff like that, which was really good. And we do things like Christmas meal. If we have a big section meeting with the whole office, then we go out for a meal afterwards. So stuff like that, which is really nice. And just generally like day to day, everyone's really sociable. You know, people go for drink breaks in the kitchen. We've got a pool table in the kitchen as well. So things like that just mean that everyone, yeah, I feel like I've probably spoken to and had a conversation with most people in the office just because
Sure.
everyone's really sociable and friendly. So I think it's a massive aspect of the work. And I think, I mean, it helps the day-to-day day go by. And I think it
Yeah.
also helps with like when you are working in a team, you feel a lot more comfortable if you've like gone for a coffee with them beforehand in the kitchen. Then you feel like you can ask them a question later on and like you know that you can approach them. So yeah, I think from my experience, it's a big part.
And Lucy, quickly, are you hybrid with your role? Are you fully in the office?
So currently I'm fully in the office. So for me, when I first joined, they wanted me to be fully in the office. And I think I'll basically be fully in the office until I've been here for a year. But they do, I have a few times worked from home for stuff like I've had to put my car in the garage and things like that. So they are flexible. With like on occasion working from home. But I know that there's a lot of other people in my office. There's some people that do work from home full time and stuff like that. So there's a mix, but they've got a big emphasis on they always want the office to have people in that we can go to for questions. So they're really big on that, that even though they're fine with people being hybrid, like higher up and stuff, they always want to make sure we've got someone to turn to in person, which is really nice.
Yeah, and I think it's especially your kind of early stage of your career, you've made those really key points that, you know, you want to put yourself out there. You want to then be able to come forward to ask those questions, go for a coffee with someone. It's about networking, isn't it? You know, DMV's massive. You want to, you know, have as many connections in the business you can. And I think that's a really good point. So again, really good, Lucy. Thank you. Shem, I'm going to come to you. Is that, have you got anything to add to that in terms of your social aspect? Anything else that you've been up to?
I think yeah, just to back what Lucy's saying, DMV is very diverse and collaborative with the teams here. So even with myself, I've worked with colleagues from different parts of the world, different backgrounds and different disciplines as well. And everyone is very supportive and friendly. So everyone's always willing to help you out and even celebrate little achievements that you make. And yeah, more to the social side. Here, our team in London, we have regular team social events where we can, catch up with your colleagues outside of the workplace. I've also been to many pub quizzes, plenty of team meals, and even towards the end of last year, I got to climb the O2 with my team as well. So there's always a bunch of fun things to do with your team outside of the workplace.
Graham is always finding you fun things to do.
Yeah, he's got a whole list he needs to tick off.
Oh, really? Bucket list. Fantastic. That sounds really good fun. Carla, I'm going to hand back to you, and maybe we could focus on Fatima and John in terms of their favourite things, and anything else they want to add.
We can, but just not yet. We need to talk about the recruitment process. So,
Yes, of
Steve,
course we do.
important thing now, Steve. So, tell us all about the recruitment process. What should students expect when they apply to DMV?
Yeah, so we changed our recruitment process for last year, and we think that worked really, really well for us. But not just for us, I think, but for the people who obviously came through the process, of which we've got a few of those on the call. So ultimately, our process, we try and keep it really simple. And there's a lot of similarities whether you're applying for a graduate role, a replacement role, or an apprenticeship opportunity moving forward. So, all of our roles will be very specific, as we mentioned before. So hopefully there's a lot of detail in there that helps people when they see the roles on Gradcracker be able to have a really clear view in terms of whether it feels like something they might be interested or not. But what we don't want to do, which some organisations do, is mean that you can only apply once to us in a year. We want you to apply to as many roles as actually you think sound exciting. But we have very specific roles that hopefully help give you a lot more information at the outset. So when you apply, you go through and we will ask you at that point, as part of your application, that you just need to online answer probably about half a dozen very, very specific questions to that individual job. So very basic stuff like, making sure you're aware where the role is going to be based from for reasons that Lucy was talking about before. We want people to be able to get into the office and spend time in the specific office surrounded by the relevant people that will help their development. But also questions around maybe when the role is due to start, around maybe what degree disciplines you might need or academics you might need. So these sorts of very, very specific questions, quite basic stuff, literally just selected from drop downs. And then those individuals who meet our criteria, we then put them through some very scientific and objective online assessments. So they sound a little bit daunting, it sounds a little bit maybe stuffy, but we hope that ours are a little bit different to some out there. So you won't get asked questions when you fill out and do our online assessments. You play some games. So there are like online games and little activities that you will do. And it's all about us being able to assess in a very scientific and objective way your natural behaviors and also some of those key problem-solving traits that the guys have talked about, almost all of them individually. What we do is problem solving. So we want people who are naturally aligned and their brain works in certain ways, but that could be from a range of different backgrounds. So we try to assess those, and that helps us identify which of sometimes hundreds of candidates who apply to our roles we feel are probably the closest match to what that individual role needs. And what I mean by that is we want people who are going to be more aligned around some of the traits that will make them successful in that role and give them the best chance of succeeding and thriving. So looking at some of those behaviors to align some of their natural curiosity and so forth will help us do that and hopefully mean people come in and will really enjoy what they do. And I think we also try to do it that way as well to make our process a bit more inclusive and remove as much of our of the bias from that. So you won't see when you apply to some of our roles that we demand that you send us a CV or a cover letter. Most of our recruitment that we do at the early career stage, we use these tools to assess rather than expect you to send a CV in, which might tell us what you like doing in your spare time, but that's not necessarily relevant to the role that we've got. So once we've got people from there, our placement and intern roles, we'll then do just some interviews with to just assess your motivations and make sure that the role is a good fit for you. For our graduate roles, we do something slightly different where we provide an online briefing where applicants can actually just go and learn a little bit about the role from people who are doing the role. So, it might be a team lead along with one of our current graduates who just talks a little bit like we've done today about what actually is the role. So they can work out, is the advert I applied to, have I interpreted that correctly? Does it mean what I thought it does? And would I actually enjoy doing the sorts of things that this role will entail? Because we think that's really important. We hate the thought that you apply to something and you only find out during an interview whether it is what you think it is. So we try to engage with our graduates and our placement students and apprentices in that way. And then the final stage for our graduates is an assessment centre. We tend to do these virtually, so in an online way. Relatively small numbers. And it's a really good chance. So we try and almost split our day up into two. Half of it is very much for the people who attend that to get chance to meet and ask questions of people who are going to be their future colleagues. So that could be their future manager, mentors, buddies, some of the other people on the graduate program. But really help identify whether the role is for them or not, and ask all of the questions that will help them make that decision. And likewise, the other half of the day is about us asking candidates questions and getting to know them more to see whether we think they're suited. So we have an interview and we have a group activity. And a lot of it is really just assessing people's motivations, what they want to do, why they want to do that, find out a little bit about how they problem solve, so how their thought processes work and how they can articulate some of those thoughts that they have around how they go about doing things, and really just building up a bit of a rapport there. So we genuinely like our process to feel two-way. We try to make our process a lot more engaging than some out there. So we hate it when people just feel as though they just go through a little bit of a cookie-cutter process. We like to try to engage throughout the process and give people a lot of extra information.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks, Steve. And then from your point of view, what one hint, tip would you give students going through that whole process?
Okay, can I give them three quick ones?
As long as you're quick.
One, I think, is just to prepare. So when you do come to the interview assessment centre stage, you've given some thought to what have you learned throughout the process? What clues have we given you? And be able to turn up and actually demonstrate that this is something that you've thought about. It is amazing how some candidates turn up and they can't even talk about some of the basic things. And I think that's a real shame. So I think just do a little bit of prep, thinking about why you want to do it and what you've learned about us. Second one I'd say is just be yourself. During the process, don't try and pretend you're somebody that you're not, because we want to hire the real you. Going back to all of the things that we assess against, it's around finding your natural behaviors, things you're naturally have an affinity with, which will help make you successful in that particular role. So we want to be as transparent as we can about what a role is, and we hope that you're really transparent about what you're looking for, and between us we can make some really, really good decisions that work for everybody. And the third one, which I, if you don't mind me just mentioning, Carla, because it is really, really important, and every candidate who goes through our process, we really want them to have the opportunity to demonstrate their potential to us. And we don't want people to feel as though they can't ask for assistance, adjustments. And likewise, if they need, you know, they just feel a bit anxious or they feel as though they're a bit unsure about something, we want them to be able to reach out to us. You know, we try to be more human than some organisations out there. We really want people to feel as though they can engage with us, be honest about those concerns, you know, if they've got about the role or just they haven't been to one of these processes before. We want you to be as able to perform as well as possible on the day. So we want to give you as much help as we possibly can, be that through more information or making some reasonable adjustments if you need those as part of our process. But whatever it is, we do want people to be able to reach out.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point, Stephen. Thank you for making that. You know, if you do have, you know, there's, if you are having those situations or problems that Steve just mentioned, you need to let Steve know, you know, that he's there for you. So make sure you pass on that information. So thank you very much, Steve. What I want to do now is just go quick fire rounds, just two. I'm going to be selective because I know we're running over time a little bit. So favourite thing about working for DNV, John, what's your favourite thing?
I think the others have touched on it a bit, but it's how like willing everyone is to help you.
Yeah.
Like if you have a problem, you could turn to anyone. I could go to anyone in the office, not necessarily in my team, and they'll be like willing to help at any point. I just like how collaborative the environment is.
I think that's always come across, you know, when working with Steve for so many years and, you know, visiting the DNV offices, you've always been quite, you know, an open company, which is amazing. Thank you. And Fatima, what would you say your favourite thing about working for DNV is?
So I really enjoy how technical my role is. But apart from that, I think the fact that I'm surrounded by team members who are extremely intelligent and always willing to help is it's really nice. It's a great environment to grow professionally, to grow, just grow all the types of skills that you need to grow as a person. And so again, like some of the people in my team are part of the ISA committee, and they do industry research, so they're really, really intelligent and they know what they're talking about. So, and the fact that they're so lovely is just a bonus.
Oh, Brilliant. Thanks, Fatima. And the last quick fire round is a top fact, cool, interesting fact about DNV. And Nikki, I'm going to go to everybody for this one because it's my favourite round. Nikki, I'm going to start with you. So, what's your top fact?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a fact, but something that I didn't really know and I think is quite cool about the company is that we've got offices like all over the world. So I think I know a few people that have gone to work in different offices for a few months at a time or relocated. So I think if that's something that interests you further into your career, like working abroad, I think DNV is a good company to work for if you want that opportunity. So I think that's pretty cool.
I'll take that as a fact. Thank you very much, Nikki. Lucy, what would yours be?
I think my fact is that we've been operating for 160 years now. So we're a very established company. Yeah, we've been around for a while.
Yeah, definitely. Give the students some confidence when they are applying.
Yeah.
Shem?
I'd say that we at DNV are always on the lookout for the latest development in any of the industries that we're operating in. So for me, where it's in the energy, there's really a big push on, AI and the assurance of AI and how we can integrate it within the energy industry, which is pretty cool to me.
It also shows you that you're changing with the times as well. You know, AI was something that we never heard of 10 years ago, so it's the very current with the new technologies and things like that. So thank you, Shen. John.
So, Lucy actually stole my fact,
Oh
but it's actually just over 150 years since the first surveyor, because it used to be a maritime business, the first
it
like ship
did.
surveyor was stationed in the UK. So it's like 160 years as a business and 150 years in the UK. So
Fantastic. Thanks, John. Fatima.
Kind of similar, but not really the same. So DNV played a crucial role in the development of the first offshore drilling platform in the North Sea, contributing to the growth of offshore oil and gas and that industry back in the 1960s.
oh, loads and loads of history. Love this. And you went last but not least.
So the Spade Adams site where I'm based was originally used for Blue Streak and the development of nuclear weapons in the Cold War.
I think I remember reading about that. Thanks very much, Ewan. So thank you everybody for joining us on this webinar today. Thank you, Steve. You've been very well behaved. Don't forget to go and apply to the opportunity that Steve's currently got on the DNV Hub on Gradcracker. Now, Steve mentioned about making sure that you show that you've done your research. The Hub is the perfect place to do that. So rewatch this webinar, watch the snippets that will be live tomorrow, and don't forget to give DNV a quick follow. And then when Steve does open his opportunities, so degree apprenticeships, placements, and more graduate roles in the coming month, you will be the first to know when you are alerted. Me and Jess will be back in 2 weeks' time, where we're joined by Martin Baker. So join us then. But for now, thanks everybody at DNV, and we'll see you all again soon.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks,
Bye,
everyone.
everyone.
Thanks,
Thank
guys.
you. Bye.
Bye,
Bye.
bye-bye.